Hello again. This is Eric Sinrod in the San Francisco office of Duane Morris. I'm here with
Jonathan Armstrong. I'm live from London.
Yes, and we're crossing the pond, dealing with all things tech and legal from Duane Morris in our Tech Law 10, our weekly podcast. And so we're back at you. We're excited about developments coming to you in 2011. And this week, why don't we start off, Jonathan, what can you tell us about the recent episode involving Ryan Babel tweeting Howard Webb and a related Manchester United T-shirt?
Yeah, let me tell you about it. I guess for the Americans, I just have to explain one thing, which is a bit of an alien concept. We have a concept where we have sports competitions. We call them World Cups, but unlike the World Series, the rest of the world's allowed to enter. So I know that's an alien concept to Americans of inviting...
don't go poking in my country. Go ahead.
So one of the stars from the Soccer World Cup, a guy called Ryan Babel, he's a Dutch player. He was signed by Liverpool, and he played in the real derby grudge match that Liverpool have with Manchester United, another sort of well-known soccer team. The match had a number of controversial points, including the Liverpool captain, Steven Gerrard, as he's known, or Stevie Gerrard, as he's known in Liverpool, being sent off by the referee, Howard Webb. Babel's a user of Twitter, and he mocked up a picture of Howard Webb wearing the Manchester United strip and effectively said that, by using the photograph, that Howard Webb was such a biased referee that he ended up playing for Manchester United. He accompanied his mocked-up picture with the words, and they call him one of the best referees, that's a joke. Babel was told that he was going to be the subject of disciplinary proceedings by the sports governing body, the Football Association, and he's just been convicted, if you like, by the Football Association, fined the equivalent of about $15,000-$16,000. And as always in these things with sports disciplinary tribunals, certainly over here, he received the infamous warning about his future conduct. Now, the rumor is that in part because of that and in part because of a couple of other things, The new Liverpool manager has effectively found that he might not have a place for Ryan Babel anymore. And given what he's not somebody that's ever going to be short of money or short of a crust on his table, but given the salaries that some of the Premier League clubs pay, I think that's likely to hit him in the pocket. And it seems to me, Eric, that that's there's a more general trend behind all of this in how people use Twitter and what their companies tell them is and is not off limits.
Well, I think that's a very good point. And we may have touched on this before, but I know, you know, one thing I say when I speak to folks is that, you know, originally when, you know, social media really started coming to the fore, you know, companies were hesitant to have their employees, you know, embrace that information technology for concern that it might be, you know, infiltrated with all sorts of personal messages or the blurring between personal and company business, or perhaps not, you know, carrying on the brand of the company in the way that the employer would like. But I think over time there's a recognition by employers that, you know, people communicate through social media. That is the current wave. And it should be embraced, and it's a fantastically inexpensive way of reaching many people to strike up, you know, business relationships and partnerships and to advertise and brand and the like. So the real question comes down to, in a generic sense, not just in the instance you're talking about, but more globally, you know, when employers do try to embrace this means of communication, they need to educate their employees in terms of how they want them to do it vis-a-vis the company and portraying the company. What are your thoughts on that, Jonathan?
I think that's definitely right. And I know one of the topics that we've looked at before is the responsibility of employers and whether the regulators are going to hold them to account. And just before the break, we had some activity here from the Office of Fair Trading, so our equivalent roughly of the Federal Trade Commission in the U.S., and they've done more or less the same as the FTC did a year previously, and said that employers do have to discipline employees and supervise them more. This particular enforcement action was as the result of a media company who owned a commercial blogging network. They said that they selected people who were good at social media engagement, and they effectively pushed their clients' products online through Twitter and through more conventional, longer blogs. The Office of Fair Trading started enforcement action against them. And the rumors from the OFT is that that's just the start of more things to come. The papers here have had wild speculation as to which particular celebrities are in the firing line, and the papers, rightly or wrongly, have come up with a few names of people who are meant to be fairly prevalent for using Twitter to promote product that they're paid to endorse. And I know I've been speaking to some brand owners here since the decision, and it is clear that brand owners do use Twitter and use celebrity endorsements via Twitter as a way of promoting their brand, and that's going to be very difficult to do in light of the Office of Fair Trading's decision. And as a matter of context, the law across Europe is changing in May. The law that the OFT have used here is pretty similar across most of Europe because it's under an underlying European directive on fairness to consumers. And I think we're going to see more and more of that activity in Europe. I don't know whether it's the same in the U.S.
Well, I think you make a good point. And as I say, the law generally tends to follow and struggles to catch up with, the warp speed progress of information technology. And these are some examples. And I think we're going to see more of this here. That's already happening. Plainly, when somebody's blogging about a particular product or service, and they're actually receiving some benefit, maybe actually getting the product or, being provided the service, there now needs to be some, light shown on that, so that there's disclosure, so that the readers or the viewers, the users, can understand whether there's true objectivity or not, and that makes sense. So we're seeing more of that here as well, and there's clearly more to come. Social media is the name of the game, and there needs to be some regulation. And the real point is that people have to understand truly what they're viewing, and whether it is objective, whether it's accurate, whether it's honest. There have been rules that have been applied to more traditional communications media in the past, and now everybody can be a publisher at any moment.
Absolutely.
There needs to be some control there. Well, I think we're up against our 10 minutes. Are there any final thoughts you have, Jonathan?
No, I think we've about covered it. Do follow soccer. It's an interesting game, and we look forward to tuning in with you next week. In the meantime, I'm Jonathan Armstrong. Do let us have your suggestions of future articles. jparmstrong@duanemorris.com. Eric?
I'm Eric Sinrod in San Francisco, ejsinrod@duanemorris.com. You can follow both of us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and you may follow American football as well. We're now entering, we're actually in the playoffs. We have four teams left. They'll be down to two after this weekend. So we're now signing off, and we'll catch you the next time around with Tech Law 10. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.